I've got a helpmate. I think that's scriptural. I wish it could be in two places at once. I'd be like to be at this shooting contest, but we'll be over at the Meadows over there. Brother Martis will be preaching over there tomorrow night, so we've got to be there. We've enjoyed being over there. It's not a shooting contest. Well, it's got a bullseye on it. Well, it's not a knitting contest, so I don't know what it is, but anyway. I want to tell you that the boys' home has had some blessings since the last time I said anything about it. Our insurance on the facility and all that liability and vehicles and all that stuff was right around $20,000 2 years ago, and now it's down to about $10,000. And that's a great blessing. I don't know how you feel about insurance, but I know it's nice to have when you need it, but I don't ever want to use it. And so I feel like it's a waste to have it. I know it's not, but that's the way anyway, y'all know what I'm talking about it. And we got a young couple that we're going to send down to the home. They're going to stay there for a week or so and kind of get their feet wet and see how they like it, and we're going to get a chance to see how we like them and see if they'll be a fit for working there in the school. We need a man in the classroom with them boys, because they're not little mama's boys. They've been out on the streets and different places, and they're kind of rough, and a woman just is not a real good fit for them there. And so I wish you'd pray about that with us. Maybe they'll be the right ones, and Brother Patton can kind of get them trained. I pray about things being bigger than what we think they are. I'm thinking that it'd be a wonderful thing if they came down there and the boys' home was like a boot camp for them. And then maybe we could open a girls' home, because girls are much more trouble than boys. You'd need a good, sturdy boot camp first for girls. And that might work out, and we could do that maybe in Indiana, and that would pacify Brother Murdoch, and he wouldn't feel like he had to make the journey down to Mississippi all the time. He could just stop off in southern Indiana. About Kentucky would be good for him. I've got this upper room at my house that Brother James fixed for me. When I first bought this house, I had to duck down like this and kind of walk in like this to get in that room. Did you see that? Kind of like that. And Brother James was real gracious. He said, "Would you like to go in there standing up?" And now that I'm 4 years older, I'm glad I can stand up and not have to get down to get in there. But that's where I go to be in that place where I want God to meet with me. And I have been certified lately that I'm not crazy, I'm just saved. And in that place is where I go to be seeking the Lord. And in there the other day, I was reading stuff. And in the book of Hosea, I came across this verse. And I know that God's got everything in an order. He has our homes in an order. You know, He has an order for our homes. I said that a little wrong, but he has an order for our homes. He has an order for our children. He has an order for our church. He has an order for our state. Everything's in an order with God. We just foul it up. But I'm reading along, and this verse just seemed out of place, maybe to me. I know it's not, but it just seemed that way. What I want to say is it just kind of jumped off the page at me. It's in Hosea chapter 12 and verse 12. It says, "And Jacob fled into the country of Syria, and Israel served for a wife, and for a wife he kept sheep." Hosea 12:12. And if you read in Hosea, I'm not going to go back and read that because I know they got to be conscious of time. I noticed the other day, Brother Smith was here. He preached for an hour, and nobody seemed like they realized it was an hour. But I checked it out so I'd know how much time I had. But Hosea, you know, it's one of them places that you don't just settle in and read it and dig around in it. And I was just passing through there, and that verse spoke to my heart. And I'm reminded about a portion of Scripture over in Galatians when I read that about Jacob and Israel. And in Galatians chapter 3, it says in verse number 8, "In the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith." By the way, that's us. The Jews were not counted in the heathens. This is us. We got to get in on it. Amen. "The heathen through faith preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham." So that story back in the Old Testament about Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and all of that business, that's the gospel presentation in the Old Testament. I would think that that's the gospel presentation in the veil, if you will. That Old Testament group, they rejected the prophets. They slew the prophets. And so their eyes are veiled and they don't see what you and I see. When we go back and read about Abraham and Isaac, well, we just have a fit. We just glory in that thing that right at the last moment, God stayed Abraham's hand and provided a ram for him, providing himself a sacrifice. Oh, what a blessing that is. So I thought, when I read this in Hosea about Jacob and Israel, I thought, well, I'll just go back over there to Genesis chapter 31, and I'll read a little bit about that. And so I read some of it. I'd like for you to take your Bibles and turn over to Genesis chapter 31, and verse number 36. We'll read down through verse 42. And when you think of Jacob, what do you think of? When you think of Israel, what do you think of? I would just be willing to imagine. I can't say that I'd be willing to bet, but I'd be willing to imagine that nobody here would think of Jacob as the shepherd. If I say shepherd, O-T, somebody's going to say David. But we're not going to say Jacob. But Jacob was a shepherd. There was a reason he was a shepherd. Our verse said he served for a wife. Now he fled to that country because he was afraid of Esau, his brother. I've got this in my mind, and I don't know if it's true or not. I never met Mr. Jacob, and I never met Mr. Esau. But I've got it in my mind that Esau would thump you, and Jacob would just be sweet to you. But the truth is that Jacob would trick you, and Esau was dumb enough to fall for it. Those are the two brothers. And I know how brothers are because I got one. And when I could outrun him, I could laugh at him and pick at him. And then when he got fast enough to catch me, I quit picking on him so much because he could thump me. But when I get back here and I go to reading, verse 36, "And Jacob was wroth and chode with Laban. And Jacob answered and said to Laban, What is my trespass? What is my sin that thou hast so hotly pursued after me?" Now you remember how that all worked out down there with Laban. Laban conned the trickster, and the trickster wound up thinking he was going to get, what was her name? Rachel. You got to be careful with them R's. There's Rebecca and there's Rachel, and I'm old and I can get confused, but it was Rachel. He thought he was going to get Rachel, but he wound up with Leah. I never met Miss Leah either, but I know that Jacob wasn't real satisfied with Leah. His whole heart and intent was on Rachel. But he served for Leah, and he served for Rachel, and he got Leah, so he served again to get Rachel, and then he had to serve longer to get the cattle. That's the story back there. So now, they've slipped away. And when they slipped away, Rachel decided there were some things that she wanted that belonged to her daddy. And when daddy caught up with them to check it out, she just stuck it under the seat she was sitting on, and he never found it. And of course, the trickster doesn't know about any of this. So he says to his father-in-law, "What is my trespass? What is my sin that thou hast so hotly pursued after me, whereas thou hast searched all my stuff?" He sounds like he's from Mississippi or somewhere. "Whereas thou hast searched all my stuff, what hast thou found of all my house, of all thy household stuff? Set it here before my brethren and thy brethren, that they may judge betwixt us both. This 20 years have I been with thee. Thy ewes and thy she-goats have not cast their young, and the rams of thy flock have I not eaten. That which was torn of beasts I brought not unto thee. I bear the loss of it. Of my hand didst thou require it, whether stolen by day or stolen by night. Thus I was in the day, the drought consumed me, and the frost by night, and my sheep departed, my sleep departed from my eyes. Thus have I been 20 years in thy house. I served thee 14 years for thy two daughters, and 6 years for thy cattle. And thou hast changed my wages 10 times. Except the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac had been with me, surely thou hast sent me away now empty. God hath seen mine affliction and the labor of my hands, and rebuked thee yesternight." Now, if Abraham was a picture in the Old Testament of Jesus in the New Testament, of the gospel in the New Testament, then Jacob is a picture. Now I'm thinking, sometimes we read the Bible. I don't know how many times I've read Hosea. I couldn't tell you that, but I've never saw that verse before. I was reading it like I always read, and all of a sudden it jumps off the page. And when it does that, listen, you need to stop and go digging around and find out what that nugget's about. Now, Jacob didn't start out being Israel. He didn't get to be Israel until later on when he wrestled with God. And he got to be Israel. And it's Israel, not Jacob, that's serving for a wife. And the way he served was as a shepherd. The Bible says in Hosea that he kept sheep. They weren't his sheep. They were Laban's sheep. It was the lowest labor, almost like being a slave, to tend sheep. When I read about David tending sheep for his father, I don't get that idea about it. But it's a different story for Jacob when he's tending sheep. He's Israel, and he's having to tend sheep for these daughters. So I thought, if he's a picture, we need to see the picture. We need to see what it's all about. So this event back in Genesis is a picture about what's to come. So in verse 36, it says, Jacob was wroth and showed with Laban, and Jacob answered and said to Laban, "What is my trespass? What is my sin?" And I immediately began to think about our Lord before Pilate, and in Pilate's hall, when Pilate said, I don't find a fault in him. But there's more to that story. In 1 Peter 1:19, the Bible says, "But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." We're fixing to look into that gospel message when we're looking back at Jacob and Israel as he's laboring for a wife. You see, our Savior's labor was for a wife. One day there's going to be a shout and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ are going to rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. There's coming a day when the bride's leaving out. In verse 37 he says, "Whereas thou hast searched all my stuff, bring the evidence." Luke 23:4, Pilate said to the chief priests and to the people, "I find no fault in this man." John 18:28, he said it again, "I don't find any fault in him." In John 19:4-6, he said it two more times, "I don't find any fault in him." Hey, where's the evidence? Lay it out. Show us why. They couldn't find any because our Savior was without spot and without blemish. No sin, no thought of sin. The devil tempted him. He didn't send a minion to do the work. The devil tempted him. And without fault and without sin, our Savior went to the cross. John called him the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. I can see old Jacob as he gets down there in Syria. He don't know what he's going to do. He's just looking over his shoulder for Esau. And he spies Rachel. Maybe his thoughts just changed a little bit. Instead of looking over his shoulder, he got to looking over there at Rachel and wondered, what in the world is God doing now? Yeah, our life is filled with events, and I don't know how much we think about, wonder what God's doing for me today. I wonder what God's going to do today that down the road somewhere is going to be a blessing somewhere. I don't think that Jacob left home to go to Syria with the idea in mind, I'm going to go over there and be a shepherd. I don't even think that he went over there thinking, I think I'll just go find me a Rachel. I think he was just leaving out of town so his head wouldn't get lopped off. But God's got some more plans over there in Syria for him. God's going to make of him a great nation. God's going to teach him some things in Syria that's going to be a blessing later on when his children wind up down in Egypt. Bring me some evidence. Well, there's not any. There's never been a perfect man except for Jesus. Well, in verse number 38, he said, "This 20 years have I been with thee." He goes on to talk about the ewes and the rams. He's not eaten any of them. He suffered all the loss himself. He didn't come bringing in the torn up ones, the devoured ones. He didn't bring them in. None of that stuff did he do. Verse 38 reminds me of the faithful service and sacrifice that our Lord performed for us. I found this verse, John 6:37. "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me." I love that part of that verse. I've heard folks say all of my life, "I found the Lord." Well, the Lord ain't never been lost. I didn't go seeking Him. He came seeking me. He sought me where I was. He drew me. He allured me. I like that first part of that verse. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. You look back in Genesis, he said that about those ewes and those she-goats, not cast their young. There wasn't any stillborn lambs. There wasn't any of that stuff going on. Nothing was cast off. Listen, all of those sheep just came to Jacob. God blessed him and they multiplied. Look here. It says in John 10:17, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. John 10:18 says, no man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. You suppose that while Jacob, Israel, was out there tending those sheep, do you suppose there were some times when he had the choice? He could either run or he could be willing to lay down his life for the sheep. Isn't it funny how it says in Hosea that he kept sheep? It doesn't say that he led sheep. It doesn't say that he drove sheep. It says he kept sheep. We're in the keeping business. Are you hearing me? When we go out and knock on doors and we win somebody to the Lord, we want to bring them in. And then when we get them here, we want to keep them. We want to keep the sheep. That's our business. That's what the church does. Nobody else does it. I notice he said in John 10:18, this commandment have I received of my Father. The Son is obeying the Father. I love that. I love the way Jesus humbled himself to do the things that he did. I love the way that you and I, we need to learn that thing of humbleness. If we're going to be what we ought to be, then we've got to learn that. You see, Jacob didn't come to Syria as a shepherd. And when he got there, what he could get to do was keeping sheep. For him to do that from where he was, he had to come down for that. He had to humble himself for that. It wasn't anymore, Jacob's got to be first. When he was at home, his mama, boy, she wanted to help him get that birthright. Y'all remember? It was about him getting that birthright. But then the birthright didn't do him any good when Esau was fixing to lop his head off. And when he got to Syria, he wasn't thinking about birthrights. He wasn't thinking about being number one. He was thinking about maybe, what am I going to do tonight? Where's my supper coming from? Where am I going to lay my head down? Well, it turns out he didn't have anywhere to lay his head either. He didn't go check in at the Holiday Inn. He checked out on the backside of the desert with a bunch of sheep. Verse 39 says, that which was torn of beasts I brought not unto thee. I bear the loss of it. Of my hand didst thou require it, whether stolen by day or stolen by night. Thus was I in the day the drought consumed me, and the frost by night. He wasn't in some cozy little barn somewhere with a bunch of hay to sleep in. He was somewhere out in the cold. The frost was on him. He didn't have a roof over his head. Where he left or where he got to has a world of difference from there. It just made me think about my older brother decided he was going to run away one day. We was living down in Mississippi, Hernando, Mississippi, on a farm, 80-acre farm down there. It was a quarter mile up to the hard road, which back then was a gravel road. That's where the mailbox was. Had to walk a quarter mile up there. My mama said, well, son, if you want to go, I'll help you. And she got a big handkerchief and put him a peanut butter and jelly sandwich in it, tied it on the end of a stick, and said, there you go. He walked as far as the mailbox, sat down and ate a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, got the mail, and turned around and went home. He only had to go as far as the mailbox to find out it wasn't going to be as rosy out there as it was at home. Are you listening to me? Young folks, where you're at right now is rosy compared to what it is out there. Better stay around home. Better listen to mom and daddy. Better pay attention, because there is rosy, out there is thorns. Oh, listen. He didn't have it so nice there. Verse 41 said, thus have I been 20 years in thy house. His payday for 20 years was two wives and 6 years of cattle. I'm thinking in my brain, if I'm knowing going in that that's going to be the payday, I might have checked out along the way earlier than that. Tending sheep is not fun. Because you see, with sheep, there's predators everywhere. There's lions and bears and wolves and, oh, they're everywhere. Day and a day goes by that there ain't a predator there. I remember the first time I seen a real, sure enough, I'm talking about a four-footed coyote walking in the woods. I was out there minding my own business, had my bow and arrow with me. I was out there, I was going to kill me something. Be honest with you, I really didn't care what it was. I just wanted to kill something. Had my bow and arrow in my hand, and I had my gun over here on my side. And I'm walking along, and all of a sudden I'm eyeball to eyeball with the biggest coyote I ever saw in my life. Matter of fact, I don't think I've ever seen a real coyote before. I might have seen some imaginary ones. But that day I saw a real coyote. He's bigger than a German shepherd. He scared the living daylights out of me. I didn't shoot nothing. I just stood there shivering. I didn't have no sheep. I was the sheep. Wandering around out there tending them sheep, you got to be ready for wolves and coyotes and bears and lions and God only knows what's out there wanting to steal your sheep away. I'm telling you, sometimes when I pastored, I was rougher than a cob when I preached because I knew there were some wolves trying to get my sheep. Laban's learning some things. Jacob's learning some things. Israel's learning some things about keeping sheep. Now Jesus, He suffered the price for us. Matthew 8:20, the Bible says, and Jesus saith unto him, the foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay His head. Luke 9:58 is similar to that. I'm telling you, Israel didn't have anywhere to lay his head out there. I'm talking about the picture of the gospel. When I read the life of Jacob and Israel, it's there. I was even thinking about that portion where he's Jacob's ladder. You know, they sing that little song about Jacob's ladder, how he fought with that angel and wound up with a gimp leg after that. I'm thinking the Lord Jesus had a few sessions when he was in hard prayer. I call it hard prayer. He was in that one, you remember, his sweat was like great drops of blood. Verse 42 said, except the God of my father and the God of Abraham and the fear of Isaac had been with me. Now stop right there. In the adult Sunday school class, we only get to read a little bit of a verse, and then Brother Mickey will say, stop. And then he'll say, start. Somebody gets to read a little bit more of one. But if you stop right there, somehow Jacob, Israel, has come to realize that if it hadn't have been for God, he'd have never made it through those years of tending sheep, of keeping sheep. We can study. We can take notes. We can even practice. But when you get right here, if God don't show up, it's all in vain. When we go over there to the meadows, if God don't show up, we just went there and spent some time. There's a big difference when we just We just go, and when God shows up, it's a great difference. He endured the reproach of this keeping sheep. He even went so far to say on in that verse, "Surely thou hast sent me away now empty. God has seen mine affliction and the labor of my hands have rebuked thee yesternight." You see, he endured the reproach of keeping sheep. He volunteered to make himself of low esteem to keep those sheep. Mark 6:3 says about Jesus, Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James? Is this not just a man? They were trying to say that Jesus was just like them, but not so. And are not his sisters here with us? They even added them in there. And they were offended at him. Philippians 2:8 says, "And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." I kind of go back and remember Jesus when he was just a lad. I'm thinking, if my mind is remembering right, and I'm not sure of that all the time, I have to ask Mary Ellen if I'm remembering right. I've even got some things I think about every day. I have to call my brother and see if I'm thinking right. But I'm thinking that Jesus was, I think he was 12 years old when they left off to go home, and he was back yonder teaching. And they marveled at a little boy that could do that. They only saw him as the carpenter's son. But he's God's son. He's God in the flesh. He's the God-man. You can't keep anything from him. He knows everything. He sees everything. He's everywhere all the time. He's over at my house. He's over at your house. He's everywhere. You can't run from him. David said, "If I go down into hell, he's there." He became obedient unto death. He loved us that much. Turn with me over to Isaiah, chapter number 40. I'm not going to read everything I wanted to read over here. I'm just going to read one verse, verse number 11. "He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and meted out heaven with a span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance. Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, hath taught him." I'm talking about the God-man, who is our shepherd. Our pastor's our under-shepherd, but he's our shepherd. A shepherd can counsel me, he can encourage me, and he can help me and direct me. But when it comes to keeping me, it's the shepherd. I'm just a dumb sheep. There ain't no telling what I'll wander off and get into. I was working on the front porch the other day, and I stabbed myself with a 4x4. I showed the preacher where I stabbed my finger, but I didn't show him where I stabbed my belly. I picked up a 4x4 and went to walk with it. It had a big old splinter sticking off of it and stabbed me right in the belly. I was gored by a 4x4. I'm kept by the shepherd. Could have just as easy have been my neck. I carried one up on my shoulder. I could have got gored in my jugular vein and died right there on the porch. I'm kept by the shepherd. Isaiah 40, at verse number 11. I can't do nothing without him. I said I wasn't going to tell y'all no stories. I used to go to a camp meeting with a whole bunch of hillbilly preachers. And there's one preacher there that used to sing a song. Every now and then they'd get him to sing it. And I can't sing it like he did, but the song goes, I just can't walk without Jesus. I just can't talk without Jesus. And then the song, I don't know the rest. That's all I remember. I don't get whole songs. I just get little lines. I've been humming along on that song, which I think y'all sang it Sunday, about in my heart. I want to be like Jesus in my heart. In my heart. I want to be. Flip over to John chapter 10 right quick. John chapter 10. Now, I've looked at that picture over in the Old Testament. I'm going to look over here in the New Testament now at the shepherd. John chapter 10, verse number 11 said, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. Verse 13 says, the hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not, for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and have known of mine. Now I don't know if sheep are like geese and chickens and turkeys and all them other. We was over at Ian's house the other day. Felix, they got a regular zoo there of animals. They got them everywhere. And one of them little gals come out toting a bucket plumb full of animals. It had chickens and geese, and I looked to see if there was an ostrich somewhere, but I didn't see one of them. But they probably got one hid out in the back somewhere. Anyway, she set that thing down, and Ian's out there, and he started talking geese language. He's more than just Spanish and English. He's talking to them little geese. Next thing I know, there's two little geese following him around like he's a mama goose. Sheep know the shepherd. Shepherd knows his sheep. Hebrews chapter 13. I'm nearly done. I promise. Hebrews chapter 13. Verse 20 says, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. The good shepherd and the great shepherd. The great shepherd of the sheep. He laid down his life on Calvary He was willing to die for me. I can't get over it. If I wasn't me and I was you, I wouldn't die for me. He's the great shepherd. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 4. Says, "And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." But before you get to verse number 4, verse 1 said, "The elders which are among you, I exhort, whom am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither be as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." See, we've got our shepherd here. We've got our under shepherd. But over there, Brother James, in your Sunday school class, there's another shepherd over there. And over there on that bus ministry, there's several shepherds over there. Brother Mickey, shepherd in the old folks class, the antique class. We got shepherds all around in here. And shepherds bear a great responsibility, but there is a great reward. That's what he's talking about here. The chief shepherd. Can I give you just a couple more things that I pinned down? I haven't learned how to print on my printer where the back side is the same way as the front side. I'm going to need a class. Mary Ellen may know how to do it. I just don't know things. I wanted to read Isaiah 53, but I'm not going to do it. You can read it when you get home. It hadn't changed. It's still the same as it was. You can read it when you get home. John chapter 10 and verse 15 says, "As the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father, and I lay my life down for the sheep." In Luke 24, verses 25 through 27, if you look at that, I want to read this because it kind of finishes everything that I wanted to say tonight. Maybe I should have read this first and then we'd already be home. Luke chapter number 24. Verse number 25. "Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into His glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning Himself." I would submit to you tonight that when you pick up your Bible and you start reading, we ought to start hunting, examining, seeking to find Jesus on the pages of our Bible. He's on every page. Jesus didn't leave out not one prophet. He's in the major prophets. He's in the minor prophets. He's in the Psalms. He's in the Proverbs. He's in the Song of Solomon. He's in every book of our Bible. But we miss over Him because we're not seeking Him. We're not looking for Him. How many times have I read that verse in Hosea? I'm ashamed to say I never saw the Savior. But He's there. The Bible says in verse 28, I'm still in Luke 24. The Bible says in verse 28, "And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went. And he made us, though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and he blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Now look here in verse 32, and they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the Scriptures? When's the last time your heart just got on fire? When's the last time you picked up God's Word and it just got so a hold of you, you just couldn't stand it? I mean, it just gets to churning in you and you can't help it. Last week over at the Meadows, I told Brother Morris, I said, I'm going to preach Acts chapter 2. He said, what verse? I said, the whole thing. Mary Ellen asked me, what you going to preach? I said, Acts chapter 2. She said, good luck. It was burning in me. I was like I was on fire till I got it out of me. We ought to be that way when we pick up the book. The Bible says in verse 33, and they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem, found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen, indeed hath appeared unto them. And they told them what things were done in the way and how he was known to them in breaking bread. I'm telling you tonight, the Word of God ought to set us on fire. I love our pastor. I love his preaching. I love his stand. But he ought not have to labor to set me on fire. And you know what I'm saying. I ought to spend time in this book, and this book ought to set me on fire. When I study about the shepherd, I want to say tonight, I'm so glad I know the shepherd. I'm glad I know him and he knows me. I'm glad I'm his and he is mine. If you're here tonight and you've never been saved, you need to know my shepherd. If you're not saved tonight, hey, I want to introduce you to the shepherd. That's what I've been trying to do tonight. I've been trying to tell you about him. I've been trying to tell you about how wonderful he is. I can't tell you how many times he's picked me up in his arms and he's carried me along. Hey, he showed me direction when I didn't know where to go. Our shepherd tonight. Would you trust him? Would you follow him? Would you do those things with our shepherd? Would you stand to your feet tonight? I'm finished. But we might not be finished doing business with God tonight. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Nobody looking around. I hope God spoke to you tonight. I wanted to be a blessing to you tonight. I wanted to kind of tell you where I'm at when I've got my book in front of me. I love the Lord tonight. I'm so glad to know the shepherd. Do you know him? Is he your shepherd? Have you given your life over to the shepherd? I hope you have tonight. If you haven't, maybe you'd slip out from where you're at. Come down here and let the shepherd tend to your needs. He'll take care of your wounds. He'll take care of your nourishment. When you're so weary you can't go, he'll pick you up and carry you along. Amen.